So if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 1. We'll be mostly there. John chapter 1. The first and foremost value of our church is beholding God. We want to be people who see God, not just see, but we want to delight in God. We want to be people who feel joy in God, who feel a passion burning in our hearts for Jesus Christ. We want to love Him and adore Him and yearn to know Him. It's the greatest commandment. So today I have one simple task, really one simple task today. I want to exalt Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds. I want to elevate Jesus Christ today as high as I possibly can. I want to brag on Jesus Christ. I want to declare to you the matchless worth of Jesus, His majesty, His magnificence, as even I show you that He is the fulfillment of everything that we've been studying, the Old Testament promises. So today, we finally come to the New Testament, and we come to the man, Jesus Christ. How can I plumb the depths this morning of who Jesus is? How can I accurately describe to you this morning this man? Can words even convey, can human words even convey the brilliance or the glory that is due Him? I will surely fall short today, so I have an encouragement to start out with. Brothers and sisters, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Mine for rubies and gold in the deep caverns of Scripture. And when you do, you will behold His glory. In our study of the major themes of the Bible, we've been going through the Old Testament for many weeks, and we've been looking at pieces of a puzzle, as I've tried to describe it. We've been putting some pieces together, trying to figure out what the meaning of the Bible is. And today we come to the New Testament, and I hope that today, by the Spirit of God, it will be more clear to you than maybe it's ever been in your life. Let's pray quickly together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, King of the universe, if You were to peel back this morning the curtain and enable us to see You in all of Your glory and to see the glory of God the Son, we would surely die from the weight of glory. But Lord, as we live in this world, we don't see You as clearly as we should. But today I pray that by Your Holy Spirit You will enable us to behold You and behold the magnificence of Christ. And beholding that we might live lives that are worthy of Your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So John chapter 1 is the place that I've chosen this morning to extract the riches of Christ. Not going to talk about Palm Sunday. I know this is Palm Sunday, and I'm glad that it's Palm Sunday. And actually, Palm Sunday is just one place in the Scriptures where Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecy and Old Testament promises. Zechariah 9:9 is the prophecy where the king of Israel is going to come riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And today we're going to look at several different things in the Old Testament and the New Testament fulfillment of those. So I want to look in John 1. They already read the Scripture, so I just want to turn. I'm going to try to preach in 20 minutes. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." So, very clear here in the beginning of the Gospel of John and other places I'm going to show you in a moment in the New Testament, where everything that we've been looking for in the Old Testament, all of the things we've talked about from Genesis to Malachi, and even last fall when I preached on the minor prophets, all of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, all has a purpose. And that purpose is to point to Jesus Christ. And here, Philip gets it very early on, and he says to his friend, "I have found the man. I have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets speak." There are other places I want to show you where Jesus himself said that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. He's the one that we've all been waiting for, unlike any other man ever to live on the planet. John 5:39, if you have a Bible, you can look there. I guess it's going to be on the screen. John 5:39. Now, this is not someone talking about Jesus. This is Jesus talking about himself. He says this, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." The Scriptures in the Old Testament bear witness about me. If you look in Luke chapter 24, just a few pages to your left, if you have a Bible, Luke chapter 24, verse 25 says this. You know this story on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection? He said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. You want to know what it's all about? You want to know what the Old Testament's all about? It's all about him. Luke 24, verse 44, again, he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. To understand the Scriptures. So we started out our first week looking in the Bible. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these. We started out by looking at creation. And what do we find in creation? In Genesis chapter 1, we find that, as we'll see in John in a moment, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, was there in the beginning. Then we looked at the fall of mankind into sin. And there was a promise, and that promise was that A deliverer was going to come who was going to crush the serpent's head. And Jesus Christ crushed Satan's head when he died and rose again. We looked at the promises of God in the Bible, which God made to Abraham and the other patriarchs. The promise is that an offspring was going to come to bless all of the nations of the earth. And here we sit today in this room, with God has saved us from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Many nations in this room, He has fulfilled that. We saw in Exodus when James preached that He's the Passover lamb that was slain to deliver from death. We looked at conquest and settlement. Remember that? Joshua going in with the people and the armies and conquering the land. Well, guess what? Jesus is the new Joshua. Even Jesus means Joshua. He conquers all of our enemies and provides a land for us to live in forever. John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We studied kingship. What do we learn about kingship? That Jesus Christ is the king in the line of David, the better king than any of the other kings that we've been looking for. We looked at exile. And who is Jesus Christ in the exile? He is the holy and righteous judge who disciplines those that He loves and will not tolerate idolatry. And then last week, we looked at the return and the restoration, the last part of the Old Testament. And guess what? Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and He forgives and restores and provides a better way than keeping the law, because no one can keep it. But when we come to the New Testament, Jesus is so much more than just a deliverer to come from the Old Testament Scriptures. Because what we find in John chapter 1 is that Jesus Christ is much more. Let's look in John 1. John 1, 1, 1 through 3. What does this say about Jesus Christ when we get to the New Testament? With the Old Testament, it was kind of foggy. We see Him here and there, but it's not very clear. We get to the New Testament, and this is what we see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. I don't know if you notice in this passage, but there are echoes in John chapter 1 of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, creation, life, light, and darkness. But what we find in Genesis chapter 1 is that Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus Christ is not just like a Superman who's going to come to save the day, but actually, He's God. The one that we've been waiting for is not merely a human or a superhuman or appearing to be a human, but He is also a king, a deliverer, a restorer, and He is God in human flesh. Scripture says that, you notice there, it says, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and yet the Word was God. In verse 10, it repeats that He is the author of creation. So He's not the Father, but He is God the Son. It says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. Isn't that amazing? You get to the New Testament, and you start reading about this man who walked on earth, and yet your Bible says that He is the Creator of all things. I don't know any other way. I hope that is not something that has become like mundane or boring to you, or something that doesn't shock you anymore, or you maybe don't marvel at, but that the Creator is in John 1. I don't know any other way to say it, but just to say that Genesis 1, when you read Genesis 1, you should think of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He was there. So when it came time for God to send a deliverer, to send a Messiah, to send a king in David's line, to send the promised one who's going to redeem people from all tribes and tongues, what we find is that he's actually God in human flesh. God solved the problem himself. John 1 is filled with the divinity of Jesus. In him was life. Who breathed into mankind the breath of life? In him was life, and it was the light of men. So first we see in John chapter 1 that he is the creator. All things were made through him, and now he has arrived on the scene. But what I want to do is I want to scan through John 1. I don't know if you've noticed before, but if you read your Bible and you read John 1, you see lots and lots of things and lots of titles about who Jesus is. In verse 12, he is the one who gives the right to become children of God. He is the right. He is the one who gives the right to become children of God. Verse 14, he is the one who tabernacled among us. That's actually the word that's used. He dwelt among us. Like the Old Testament, God dwelling in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. Well, now there's no need for a tabernacle or a temple anymore because now he is dwelling among us himself. Verse 14, again, he is the glory. He has glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. In verse 15, John the Baptist says that he ranks before me. Jesus said John's the greatest man ever lived, and John says he ranks before me because he was before me. John's about 6 months older than Jesus, but John says that he was there before I was. Verse 29, John says he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial system is no longer needed because he's the Lamb of God who will die once for all of the sins of man and all who believe in him. Verse 32, he is the one on whom the Spirit descends and remains. So in the Old Testament, we see the Spirit descend on people, but not remaining. And we see Jesus Christ, the Spirit descends on him and never leaves. Verse 41, he's the Messiah. Verse 45, as we already read, the one who Moses and the prophets write about. Verse 49, he's a true rabbi. Verse 49 again, he's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. Verse 51, he is the one on whom the angels ascend and descend. Do you know what that's talking about? Where in the Old Testament did the angels of God ascend and descend? That was on Jacob, right? That was on where Jacob saw the dream. Well, guess what? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jesus is the new Israel, the true Israel. He is the ladder. The ladder. Not latter, but ladder. Verse 51, at the end, he says that he is the Son of Man. Do you know which title Jesus used for himself more than any other? Which title did Jesus use for himself more than any other? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. What does it mean? Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 is what he's referring to. Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to read this. Daniel 7. Now listen, I want you to think about this. Daniel seeing a dream of God, and this is what he sees. Verse 9. I looked, and thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white. This is the Father, okay? Ancient of Days is God the Father. He took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Is that someone you'd like to know? Is that somebody you'd like to behold? Down in verse 13, he continues. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is real. As real as we sit in this room, more real. As real as you're in here today, and as real as you'll go out of here today and have lunch and go to your job tomorrow. This is the reality of the universe, that He exists and He is glorious. How magnificent and how glorious is Jesus Christ? Don't you want to know Him? Listen to what some of the things the Scripture says about who Jesus is. He is our advocate. He is the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the Amen. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the author of life. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author of salvation. He is the beginning and the end. He is the blessed and only ruler. He is the bread of God. He is the bread that comes down from heaven. He is the bread of life. He is the bridegroom. He is the capstone. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the chief shepherd. He is the Christ. He is the creator. He is the deliverer. He is eternal life. He is faithful and true. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the first and the last, the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn over all creation. He is the gate. He is God. He is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is the head of the church. He's the head of the house, the heir of all things. He's the high priest. He is holy and true. He is the Holy One. He is our hope. He's the hope of glory. He's the horn of salvation. He is I Am. He is the image of God. He is Emmanuel. He is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the King eternal. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of kings, the King of the Jews, the King of the ages. He's the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish. He's the last Adam. He's the life. He's the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the living one, the living stone, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord of the Sabbath, the man from heaven, the Master, the mediator of a new covenant, the mighty God, a morning star, offspring of David, only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our husband, our peace, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrifice, Passover lamb. He is the power of God, the precious cornerstone. He's the prophet. He is the rabbi. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the righteous branch, the righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the Savior, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation. He's the one mediator. He's the stone the builders rejected. He's the teacher. He's the true bread, the true light, the true vine, the truth. He is the way. He is the wisdom of God. He is the Word of God. Is there any possible way this morning to convey the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ? All our promises find their yes in Him. He is everything. You and I have very few years on this earth. Life is but a vapor for us. At best, maybe we live into our 90s, maybe in our 100s. And life for us is just simply passing. And yet, He is eternal and will live forever and ever and ever. Listen, there is nothing greater in the universe than God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And one day, all of us will pass from our jobs and our homes and our cars and our aspirations. And there will be one thing that will exist. It will be Jesus Christ. And those who believe in Him will be with Him forever and ever and know Him fully. Let me ask you a question this morning. I know it's a strange message. Strange message for Palm Sunday. But I have a simple question. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? I'm really not even asking if you believe in Jesus Christ or if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. But do you love Jesus Christ? Is He your burning passion? Like, my holy ambition in life is to know Him. And everything else is just dung. Is He the burning desire of your soul? In light of who He is. In light of who He is. How should we now live? Listen, there's nothing greater than to know Him. Than to know Him. What should our lives be about in light of who He is? He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. He is the King eternal. Folks, we should look at Jesus Christ. We should behold His glory. We should look, we should see and savor Him. And the only response is, I will lay down my life to know Him. I will lay down my life. My life is not my own. I will do whatever it takes to know Him. I'll give up all my aspirations. I'll give up all my desires. I'll do whatever He tells me to do, whatever job He tells me to do. I'll go wherever He tells me to go because I want to know Him. Is that the beat of your heart this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, in many ways, trying to explain Your glory is like trying to explain the internet to an ant. It is beyond Him. You are as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are Your ways above our ways. And yet, Lord, like an ant who dwells in the same universe as the internet, yes, we dwell in the same universe as You. You are unfathomable and great. And yet You condescend. You humbled Yourself, God the Son, and became a man and dwelt among us. And now we can know God. How can these things be? Lord, I've struggled and fumbled. I pray You'll cover my words because I am the ant. But I pray that You would, more than anything, would You give a burning desire in every person in this room to search the Scriptures, for in them they will find eternal life because they speak of Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.